the complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by... Tonight's episode, King Henry the Fifth. A Little Touch of Harry in the Night. King Henry the Fifth, written about 1599, ascribed because of the wooden O, which refers to the Globe Theater, and that was built in 1599, so that's how they came up with the assumption that it was written in 1599. Pretty much it tells the story of King Henry the Fifth, who's come to power after King Henry the Fourth's part two. Falstaff is dead, and they occasionally lament him, but Henry's really turned his life around and really become a pretty good king. His counselors and he, in many ways taking on the advice of his father to start a war, really to get people's minds off of the whole, assuming the title from Richard thing, puts it to France that these areas of France that Edward won in war, Henry was going to reassert the claim to. The Dauphin's response is to send tennis balls and say, to heck with you, which sends Henry and his men off on a quest to France to fight a war for it. Long story short, England not doing too well in France. They had a couple of early successes, and then the time has gone on, and they're tired, and they're beaten down, and they're not doing too great. And at Agincourt, they have finally come to the final battle, and a herald keeps coming saying, you know, we're going to do a ransom. You're going to have to surrender. And Harry says, I'm not going to surrender. Though we're not in great shape, we're prepared to fight rather than do anything else. So, let's get this battle started. In the meantime, Catherine, the French king's daughter, is learning English. Harry's big plan is that one of his old cohorts was arrested for stealing from a church. And Harry says, you got to kill him. I'm not going to tolerate that. But, you know, do not do anything bad to the populace. In these kind of battles, I believe what he says is, for when lenity and cruelty play for a kingdom, the gentler gamester is the soonest winner, and it's a very smart way of dealing with keeping the people on your side. On the eve of the big battle at Agincourt, where it does not look good for England, Harry dresses as a commoner and wanders amongst the men, and there's a nice scene where he gets into a squabble with somebody, and they agree to put off their fight until later, their dispute. They exchange gloves, and that way they'll always know who the other guy is if they meet at the end of the battle. At this point, Harry also has a monologue where he explains to people that I think the king is but a man, and talks about what it is to be a king, He has a line where he says, every subject's duty is the king's, but every subject's soul is his own, which really speaks volumes about the whole thing. Once more into the breach, all that's in this play as well. The big famous speech, though, is the St. Crispin's Day speech, where some of Henry's men have said, I wish we had more guys, this is not good, we're outnumbered, we're outgunned, we're out, this is not going to go well. And Harry gives this great speech where he says, any man who doesn't want to be here should leave, because whatever victory we have, whatever honor we have, the less of us, the better it is for us. And I only want people here who are actually gonna fight, because the deal is when you're telling this tale later, every man's gonna have to shut up and listen to the people who were here, and they're gonna be envious and jealous, because the people who fought on St. Crispin's Day and received the wounds on the Christmas Day are gonna do such an amazing thing that people are just going to have to be quiet and listen, because it's an amazing story, and they will be remembered forever, and it will be a battle that will go down in history. I paraphrased it, and I butchered it, and it's terrible, but believe me, St. Crispin's Day speech is really important. So the actual battle happens, and thanks to God, I guess, as Henry says, the English win, though it's so bloody and so terrible that Harry doesn't even know who's won. And when the herald comes to ask for permission to retrieve the dead from the field so that they can separate the commoners from the noblemen, Harry says, I don't even know if the day is ours or yours. And the herald says, it's yours. And Henry thanks God, because God fought with them. Otherwise, they certainly wouldn't have survived. When the final numbers are tallied, there's like 10,000 French dead and like maybe 30 English guys dead. Harry takes no credit for it, and it's only God that God fought for them on that day, and that's who should be praised. Act 5 finds Harry going back to England to negotiate the peace effectively, and part of the peace in typical fashion for that era, I suppose, he's going to marry the French king's daughter, and that these political alliances are seem to be how we resolve most everything. It's a heck of a play, and it's really all about how when he woos the Catherine. I mean, Henry's a very straightforward, straight shooter. Is not very good at wooing, and never really intended to be very good at wooing. I mean, he's a soldier, and he has some nice speeches to Catherine about that sort of thing. Overall, it's a sort of a love letter from Shakespeare to Harry, who he thought was the best king, and what it is to be a man of action and actually, you know, be committed to being a man of action, and unlike, say, Hamlet, who sort of is a man of inaction, Harry is sort of like the middle ground, the guy who is both thoughtful and a man of action, so I think Shakespeare's a big fan. One quick note before I sign off, because I'm running a little long. There's a reference to the Gordian knot, which I love, and the etymology and the history of the Gordian knot is that King says he's created this knot, this pretty complicated knot, and he says whoever can undo this knot and untie it will be ruler of this place. And Alexander the Great shows up and just draws his sword and cuts the knot off. He just cuts through it. That's one way to sort through the Gordian knot. King Henry V, which is the sort of the end of that cycle of it, which leads into the King Henry VI cycles, but this is sort of the last history that sort of ties it all together. And in fact, the one of my favorite elements of the whole play is the introduction of the chorus, who sort of guides the play in both the beginning of each act, sort of summarizing events and tying it all together. I suppose it's like an omniscient narrator doing voiceover in latter day films. Even at the very end, the chorus explains that it leads into King Henry VI, which oft our stage hath shown, which shows that King Henry VI play cycle came before King Henry V, which is kind of interesting in a reading it in chronological order kind of thing. As I said, though, King Henry V, written in 1599, the complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by me, Kevin Hannah.